Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
There was a, if you remember a couple weeks ago, as we went through this one portion of the book of Ephesians, that Paul wrote this interesting passage that said, he who ascended is also he which descended first. And when he descended, and then it talks about this ascension and descension thing. Remember how we went through that a couple weeks ago and everybody was kind of scratching their head? Why is he writing this? It kind of seems kind of weird. Well, let me give you a little factoid that will help you out. Around this time, they saw this meteorite. They obviously didn't know it was a meteorite at the time, but there was this big flash of light, and they saw it fall from the sky not far from the city of Ephesus. And they went and they found this meteorite, this chunk of this meteorite that actually crashed there not far from the city of Ephesus. Now, this meteorite was all bumpy and lumpy, and they took it, and they said that this is the goddess Artemis. Okay, some people know as Diana. And they said that it was this fertility goddess. And so they built one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which was this temple of Artemis. And they housed this bumpy, bumpy meteorite as the goddess who came down. Now, the Apostle Paul is trying to do a compare and contrast. He's saying, look, you know, all you people who are worshiping Artemis, which was this fertility goddess, and some of the rites were that there were all these prostitutes in the area, as well as the priestesses and the priests, and there was all this physical intimacy stuff that supposedly, if you involved in that, it would make you more able to worship the goddess and all this stuff. So that's the backdrop that Paul writes. Look, this Christ who came down, he who ascended is also he which descended first. But he's saying that Artemis, the God that you're worshiping, this rock, came down from heaven. It's just there. What you're seeing is a Jesus, a God incarnate that came down, lived, died, descended, and then ascended into heaven. And he's doing this compare contrast of this old way of worship, which you are doing, this dead sensual life that's only leading to death, and this relationship that God now wants to have with you through Jesus Christ. And so that kind of makes some sense as to how Paul is writing some of this thing. This thing that you're worshiping, it's not real. And I'm giving you something that in fact is real. Now again, the worship of Artemis was at the very center of life in this area. And they were strewn, all the silversmiths, they got on board. And so this is a very, very important aspect of their society. Now, against this backdrop, Paul is going to try to tell them there's something new that you need to understand. There's something new that is life-changing. It's liberating. So let's pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Now, I've got a long portion of Scripture here. And a lot of times when we read long portions of Scripture, everybody passes out. So do your very best to hyperoxygenate or oxygenate, you know, right? We're going to get through this, but you got to pay attention because there's some good stuff. So maybe along the way, I'll stop and I'll throw some water balloons out that way or something. Okay. So this is, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Right there, he's talking about all these people who are worshiping Artemis, all these people who are engaged in this thing that says this needs to be the center of your life. Their society said you gotta center your life around this worship of Artemis. Now, we in 2016, we don't necessarily worship Artemis, but we do still have the same messages that are telling us you need to surround your life around a few things. Some being the right? Almighty dollar. Okay, so for our older people in the room here today, I'm gonna try this. Come on. Yep. Yeah. How many of you watched Andy Griffith? Let's try this one. Da 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 da. Remember that one? You Waltons. That wasn't very good, Waltons. Yeah. Okay, remember Waltons? Good night, John Boy. Good night. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, were those ones. All right, right. Now, how many of you, okay, some of us are like, you'd have to like Netflix that to find it. The old black and white TV. Sunday, Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, yeah, okay. Hey, all right, right, right. Okay, we got, how many of you now have ever had the fun time of turning on your television and like, what? A little bit different? Little bit different. I mean, and it's not like any warnings or anything. It's now, I know you're all like, oh my gosh, he's being the old guy who's behind the pulpit saying, things today are so much worse. I'm not being like this. I'm saying, things today are so much worse. Now, all right, I'm that guy. No one likes that guy, so don't like me. But the truth is, in my lifetime, and I'm not like over the hill yet, I'm still coming to that time. And who's laughing? Shame on you, Mrs. Hart. That hurts. Wow. All right, yeah. You cut me. Cut me deep. All right, in my lifetime, I remember how society just has transitioned and what is acceptable. Now, for a while, when I came back in the area, I did some work, and I would go in and out of high schools from time to time and do some speaking. And I remember going in and out of Triopia High School around the early 90s. I remember how kids talked to the teachers, and the teachers would say, oh, they're so rude. But they were like not like that rude. I've been in South School, and I've heard kids curse out teachers. I've been in PCS and heard kids drop the F-bomb to teachers' face and curse them out. I mean, I'm telling you, things are different. All right? Things are not the same. I've been, when we were in Maryland, we had an interesting thing. We were, a couple times we pulled up to these stoplights, and there were these folks who'd started on the crosswalk, and they would walk, and then all of a sudden they'd realize that the light changed, and they were still in the intersection, and they would just kind of purposely stop, and they knew you're, and they just kind of give you the, just to try to be obnoxious. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. Well, this isn't like Mr. Whatever Smith Goes to Washington type of sermon. I'm just saying that things have transitioned an awful lot in my lifetime, and probably in some of yours as well, in terms of our culture has shifted drastically. And our culture has shifted around this kind of selfishness, this kind of self-centered attitude that says, I have the right to define everything about me, and everybody else has to conform to what I say, period. And there's no absolute truth. There's no outside. It's almost as if we've got the same thing going that was happening in Ephesus, where society's telling you, you need to rally around this thing. This is how you need to act. We have the same feelings and the same forces that are pressing us to surround our life around something, but it ain't God. It's not the worship of Jesus Christ. And so there's this kind of futility. And if you try to share Christ nowadays, it's a little more difficult. So I get I try to be friendly to almost everybody. I just like to talk to people and just engage them and try to find a way to witness. And immediately lately, as I try to share Christ, the minute that I begin, and I don't do hey, I'm going to read you four questions, or hey, I'm going to pull my booklet out and go through it. I don't do that. I try to engage people and talk with them and find out about them, talk about everyone's favorite subject. You know what everybody's favorite subject is? Themselves. You begin to talk to them on that level and then begin to try to bring Christ. And the minute that you begin to mention Jesus, people shut you off. That's interesting. As I read this verse, it kind of came to life. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. We are living in a day and age where people's hearts are being hardened to a scary level. I mean, it's frightening how people's hearts become hard recently. 19, they've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ! Exclamation point. Okay? Hey, you should not have learned Christ according to sensuality and according to every kind of impurity. Now, that doctrine is alive and well in 2016. This doctrine that says that somehow we define God and we tell God how we want Him to be, and thus it is so. To which I would respond similar to how God answered Job. Where were you? I understood that Matt Holliday, any of you like Matt Holliday? He's a Christian man and stuff. He's got that crazy tattoo he's got in his arm? You know what that says? Where were you when I formed the foundations of the earth? That's what that says on his arm. At least that's what an ESPN reporter said, so it must be true. Yeah. It says, eat it, Joe's. So, okay. It doesn't. I think that's what it says. I didn't read the answer. Okay. But that is not the way you heard Christ. Assuming that you heard about him and were taught about him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off. Now, here's what the truth that he's saying. This is how you should have heard about Jesus. Okay? This is the gospel, that you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So you put off the old and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness. So the old way is based in sensuality and carnal desires and self gratification, and the new way is to put off the old self and embrace this wonderful purity that God has for us. Now, when I was in college, we were slobs, as I heard some guys can be in college. And every now and then, we'd have clothes, and sometimes you'd have your clean clothes and you'd have your dirty clothes. But my roommate and I decided that there were lots of different levels in between clean and dirty, according to what you did. And there was always this one way that we decided. You picked up the shirt and you took your nose and you put it in the armpit. What are you? Oh, knowing. No. Okay, I'm calling it. How many of you have never done that? I want to see it. You've never, ever smelled. Never mind. Okay. All right. So two of us have never done that. It's a way that if you don't understand. Oh, none of you are following me here today. I see what you. The deal is, you don't wear nasty old clothes. My son's been doing a lot of running lately, and you can definitely tell what shoes he wore to run because they're all covered with mud and stuff like that. I'm not saying smelling. I'm just saying, never mind. He's giving me the look. I'll back off of that one. When I run, which I never do, you can tell. Why would you wear, if you had an outfit that got soiled and an outfit that was nasty? There was a America's Funniest Videos the other day, and they had, why in the world does bride and groom were at a zoo for their wedding, but they had a penguin, and the penguin came up, and the penguin turned and did its business all on the wedding dress. And so she had this beautiful wedding dress, and it was all plat, and it was like, that's funny. So it was, why would you wear something that was soiled? Why would you wear that someplace where you need to present yourself? Well, in the same way, Paul is saying, put off your old man. You know what? There's this thing on us. This old man has been soiled by sin. It's been made dirty. It's been made not right. Why would you continue trying to wear that old self when Christ is offering this wonderful, pure, new garment? Verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, here's where it gets interesting. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Interesting that he says that. Speak the truth. Why would you say that? Unless that there was this thing inside of us that would always want to lie. Oh, we don't lie. We just speak partial truth. For we are members of one another. And be angry and do not sin. Interesting. Be angry, but do not sin. And then he connects it saying, look, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. He's comparing and contrasting. The old man wants to lie to his neighbor, wants to speak falsehood, wants to not be true, and not realizes that he's part of a body and that his actions affect everyone else. It was kind of funny when we got this car accident in Annapolis. So the dude, like, and if you're watching today, I love you. This dude, like, ran into us and then got out and was acting like, I mean, just we're stopped at a stoplight and just plowed into us and then got out and was upset that his day was not going to, his schedule wasn't there. All this, he said, "I'm having a bad day." I was like, "Yeah, so are we." This is not what we planned on. Let's see. Let's go look at this site. Let's go walk and let's have an MVA. That sounds great. No. So what are we going to do here? What are we going to do when we don't realize that we're connected to one another? You see, we're all part of the body of Christ. Our actions, both positive, can bless one another, and negative can hurt one another. And so Paul is saying, hey, look, in this thing, be angry, but do not sin. Anger is going to happen. Anger is not evil. It's what we do with anger. So what are the steps? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. So if we allow anger to fester, we're giving an opportunity to Satan. He goes on to say, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Verse 30, important verse. A lot of people have argued this verse as to what it means. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, I believe, is related to that. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, let's all read together. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Have you ever picked up a magazine or gone to the grocery store and come across this label? New and improved. Yeah. And how many times when you see the new and improved, it ain't that new and it ain't that improved. So I've had this one. It said new improved, less calories, one-third less calories, okay, per serving. And then I looked in the back and I compared it to an older box. And guess what they did? The serving size was one-third less. And thus it was new and improved. No, it wasn't. It was the same old junk, old and nasty, right? New and improved. And we do want something new. But the deal is, I fear that a lot of us, we have come to this place in Christ, and this is where I believe the heart of what Paul is getting at, is in looking at our life, are we walking in a new life, or have we just done the shell game with the label a little bit? We add a couple things, a couple good deeds, go to church a few times, support this, throw a few bucks in the offering plate, and we're all right. We haven't realized that Christ wants us to put off the old man and bring on the new man. Can I get an amen to that? You see, Paul has taken great care up to this point at telling us who we are in Christ. The first three chapters, who we are in Christ. And now he's trying to tell us this is what it means to walk out with your brother and sister. And here's point number one today. Three quick points. Point number one, your old mind is callous. This word callous is interesting. It's kind of from the word callous. Like if you have a callus on your hand or on the skin. But this word is a figurative word. It's an adjective. To be callous towards someone means to be hard-hearted, to be insensitive towards them, to not really discern what's going on. Callous people are hard to be around, right? Anybody know someone who's callous? Yep, okay. So why are they callous? Well, Paul tells us the reason that they're callous is because they're darkened in their understanding. In other words, they don't understand. They're alienated from the life of God. And why is this? Because of ignorance, and they're ignorant due to the hardness of their heart. It's amazing to me how upset Christians can be about the world acting like the world. Look, the world's going to act like the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we knuckle down. That doesn't mean that we don't do anything. But what we should be doing is to pray and to love and to serve. What? We're supposed to pray for those who persecute us. We're supposed to love those who aren't loved. The unlovable. Am I correct or am I wrong in the teachings of Christ? We're supposed to love our enemy. We're supposed to pray for those who persecute us, right? Instead of throwing a fit and actually doing the devil's job for him. You see, it comes from a callousness. So, how have I become callous? Here's how I become callous. I refuse to adhere to something. Any guitar players in the room? Spencer, I know you are. And Charlie, I know you are. Oh, that's right. Jeremy, you're a guitar player. Hey, guitar players, when you don't play guitar for a long time and you begin to play, do your fingers hurt? And then after you play a whole bunch, and it's trying to tell you something, it's saying, hey, there's something that's putting pressure here, and it's really damaging. Then after you play for a long time, what develops on your fingers? Calluses? Anybody ever had a callus, a big old callus on your thumb or your finger or something? You know what I used to do in high school? I used to take a callus and a needle, and I'd go up to people and go, ugh, and I'd stick the needle through the callus. No one's ever done that? Come on, if you've done that, tell me. Yes! I'm not the only sicko here in the room today. Good. And I'd gross out my, look, ugh. And one time, here's why. You can't feel anything on a callus, can you? You don't feel something when you have a callus. And the reason you get a callus is there's something there and you're ignoring it. And after a while, it gets thick and then you can't feel anything. And I got news for you, brothers and sisters. There's things that God's word has tried to point out in our life and we turn a deaf ear to it. We refuse to acknowledge it. And the more we refuse to acknowledge it, the less we begin to hear it. And then eventually we don't hear it at all. And what's sad, really, really sad, is I have conversations with brothers and sisters, and they see that what they're doing that is working in 180 degrees opposite of God's word, and they say, it's okay. Why? Because I'm callous. Because the Holy Spirit was trying to pull me, and I hardened my heart towards it, and now I no longer feel it. In fact, now I've gone rigid. A lot of people get like that in terms of forgiveness. A lot of people get like that in terms of a common sin. If I gave a sin on murder and said murder's bad, how many of you would say, yeah, murder's bad, right? One of those things. Now, if I say we're going to have a sermon on gluttony, overindulgence, a lot of us are going to be like, I'm going to be like, because the truth is, there are times in my life I'm gluttonous. My wife asked me, what do you want to do on vacation? I said, I have one goal. I want to go to the ocean. I want to eat as much seafood as I can shove in my face. You know what? As I thought about that, that was a gluttonous response. I love seafood. We can't get real seafood here. Was that a good woohoo or a bad woohoo? You love seafood? Okay. Well, so if we talk about that, it's because something that we have hardened our hearts towards. I was talking to a gentleman right after first service, and he said, Pastor, message hit me today. I'm callous. I'm callous on my feet. I said, why are you callous on your feet? He says, because I've been dragging them so long. God's had things that he wants me to do, and I haven't responded, and I've got calluses on my feet because I've been dragging it. The Holy Spirit's been calling, and I've refused, and now I don't feel him calling me anymore. And brothers and sisters, I fear that that's where some of us are. We do it in sensuality. We hit that place. Maybe you go out and you're surfing the web. And that the eye is the lamp of the body. You know that you shouldn't be grabbing this place, and yet you go there. And it becomes habit. And you know it's wrong the first couple of times. You enter into a conversation. It turns to gossip. I know that, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't, but I just love to talk like this. And then we keep doing that. And then the next thing we know, after a while, we feel no pull. It's not that God has quit saying. It's that we have become spiritually callous. Point one. The old mind is callous. It's darkened. Point two is gross. Ready for point two? Ephesians 4:19. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Point number two is this. Remove the callous. I was going to call this sermon callous removal, but I thought it would gross everybody out. What'd your pastor preach on? Callous removal. Yuck. Point two is this. Remove the callous. And look, it sounds gross. I will give it to you. It sounds gross. Am I telling you to get a pen and start? No, we're talking figuratively. The word that he uses is callousness. Figuratively, we are figuratively callous because we haven't responded. So, here's what the Holy Spirit is saying here to those who live in Ephesus. Some of you are walking the line. And you've got this new life that Christ has offered you, and yet you're holding on to this old thing. And because you've continued to hold on and tried to walk this duality, eventually you don't feel God calling you anymore. You got to do something about it. So today, if some of you, if you've got some of those areas and the Holy Spirit's shining a spotlight, you got to remove the callous. You're saying, how can I remove the callous? Get to the Word of God and repent. Just simply repent. God, I bring myself into agreement with your Word. Because brothers and sisters, as I learned long and long, long time ago, every time that God's Word and I come into conflict, God is always, everybody say always, He's always right. And it's not because he's an angry father. It's because he's a loving father who wants the very best for my life. His grace, I can't exhaust his mercy and his grace, but I can choose to not receive it. Remove the callous. Here's how he tells you. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God. In true righteousness and holiness. Maybe that callousness is like my friend said at the end of first service. I got calluses on my toes because I've been dragged. God's been calling me and I've refused to go. God's been telling me to deal with this. And you know what? I didn't want to deal with it because I enjoy it so much. It's so important to me. And so I continue to put God in the back burner and the back burner. And then crisis hits and I'm calling, Father, help! We either allow the new self to form or we hinder it. So we have to remove the calluses. And point three is pretty simple, is this. Prevent a new callus. How do we prevent a new callus? Well, he tells us, put away falsehood. Speak the truth. In other words, be honest. Be integrous people. Number 26, be angry and do not sin. Anger happens. A lot of people think that anger is a sin. No, anger is not a sin. How do you deal with the anger? Do we deal with it correctly? Do we not let the sun go down on our anger? Process your anger correctly, and next, process your anger quickly. In other words, yeah, you want to just deal with it immediately, or do you want to just hide it? In counseling, a lot of you, maybe you, if I've ever spoken with you, you've heard me say this. If you keep sweeping things under the rug, eventually you're not going to be able to open the door. Paul is not telling people to repress. He's telling people to process. He's not telling you to repress. He's telling us to process. And the beautiful thing is he's got mercy and grace for all of us. And that's great, isn't it? Yes. I know this is not easy. He kind of also tells us this next part, to prevent a new callus, recognize that you have a job to do. We all have a calling to serve, and I'm wrapping up the sermon right now. We all have a calling to serve, and a lot of times the reason that we get these calluses is kind of like, as he said, is some of the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor in honest work. Some of us haven't recognized that we're not in the church to sit. We're in the church to serve. Let me say that again. We're not in the church to sit. We're in the church to... So be empowered, be released to move forward. Use your words to build up. Brothers and sisters, As Paul tells us in Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. That is a prescription to not get a callus. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That is a prescription to prevent spiritual calluses from reforming.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School on for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.